Welcome to another episode of our podcast, Let's Talk TriDelta. Thanks for joining us. I'm Karen Hughes-White, TriDelta's CEO and editor-in-chief of our award-winning Trident magazine. On this current series of the podcast, we're focusing on the theme of your best you. And we're talking with some amazing TriDelta women who are encouraging us to be our very best. Today's guest is just that, Heidi Guest. We are joined by TriDelta alumna, previous lead keynote, and 2006 Woman of Achievement, Heidi Guest. She is an alumna of our Beta Pi chapter at the University of California, Davis, and the Senior Director on Air Media and Leadership Development for Philosophy. Heidi is a 30-year veteran of the prestige cosmetics industry. She's led sales and education initiatives in her native California and in New York, and most recently in Phoenix, Arizona. Prior to joining Philosophy, Heidi was the founder and president of The Guest Experience, a company committed to mentoring individuals to live into their fullest potential. Heidi began her career in cosmetics as a Clinique consultant in a San Francisco department store. And in her last position with Clinique, she was vice president of education for Clinique North America. There, she led a global team in creating initiatives that supported the selection, education, development, and retention of both Clinique consultants and field executives. So from the counter, right, to leadership. We are so excited to hear about her passions and all she can share about being your best you. Heidi, we're so honored to have you with us here on Let's Talk TriDelta.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
So you've got an illustrious career in the beauty industry. We love seeing you on QVC, by the way.
Thank you.
There are few people, only a few people, who may know that your first job out of college was actually with TriDelta in what's now called a collegiate development consultant position. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. That, I always say, Karen, was one of the best, it was the best internship I possibly could have for what would go on in my life, you know, going forward. In that role, I had an exposure to North America that I don't think any person, you know, couldn't enjoy. Because I discovered we weren't so much a country. You know, I was a Californian suddenly going into all these different areas of the United States. But I discovered that we're more of a continent with rich and really varied cultures. And I think that was so helpful to me as I led Clinique North America education, as I've led different initiatives, even on QVC today, that whole exposure helped me see that there's so many different ways, so many different cultures to be respected that, you know, one size kind of fits one. And that all that really matters, like I found as a field representative, was getting a result. Those results were the things that were the most important, that I began to question less the how-tos to excellence because I saw so many people had so many ways to get there. So I began to respect, you know, each individual's contribution and how they would do it, that it would be different from mine. As long as we agreed on the results, that was really all that mattered. And having that unique ability to kind of be a Margaret Mead, a cultural anthropologist, and be among the natives and study how they looked at things and how they worked together was invaluable as I went on in my career in beauty and also in my life. I mean, it applies not only to career, but lifestyle in general. I'm fascinated by people, how they think, and how they go about, you know, becoming their best form of themselves. And that job allowed me to do and see and be all those things.
Well, we love that. And your timing is perfect as we work to recruit our latest group of collegiate development consultants. I feel like this is a public announcement on behalf of TriDelta.
I agree. And I feel it, you know, anybody can talk to me about it. It really is one of the best experiences a young woman can have or a young man for a fraternity to really understand the United States as it exists today and beyond as we're in Canada and other locations as well.
Sure. And then, you know, doing that job, right, which does require extensive travel and sort of full immersion over long and short periods. Times, right, into different cultures and campus communities. What would you say were some of the strengths that you developed from that job that you've carried with you throughout your career?
You know, I think the greatest strength I developed out of that was being able to go into situations and not prejudge them. You know, thinking about how do I want this to be? I would only go in, like I said earlier, with the results that was intended, whether it was recruitment result that was required or whatever. And then I really enjoyed learning how other people began to look at how they wanted to achieve that result, and then looking at their individual strengths, looking at how I could help them bring the best of themselves out toward that end, if that makes sense. That was something I really enjoyed. And I think also what it brought home to me was so many people focus on the process as leaders. I learned focus on the result. What is it you all have to agree to? And then let's be creative in the process. So it brought to me an understanding of creativity toward a result, and that there were so many ways to get something done.
Sure. And right, when you think about it, right, some of the communication issues that we end up having really are the result of those unmet or unclear expectations.
Right.
Right. Aren't resolved at the outset. Right.
Mm-hmm. I spend more time on that as a leader than I do anything else. And I credit that with, you know, say Clinique, being a part of the team that brought Clinique to number one. We focused on the result being number one.
Right.
That there were many ways to get it done. And each territory within the United States would operate differently to that end. And the truth is, they all did, and in Canada as well. But the end result was we all understood number one.
Right. Now, when I think about your career with Clinique, starting as a sales consultant at the beauty counter, right? So talk to me about that journey, because it seems to me being on the very front lines, right, would be such an asset to you as you grew in the company. So tell me about that journey a bit.
Yeah, you know, it was funny. I took a job with another company, Karen. I don't know if I ever told you that. I won't mention the company, but it was a company very well known for their sales training because it seemed to be the right thing to do. Whenever anybody heard the company's name, they said out of college, wow, you know, you got one of those positions. Right. And I got into it. And to tell you the truth, I didn't like it at all. I did learn some good basics, but we were in a seminar with that company, and they said, you've got to sell the product you love. And immediately, if there was a cartoon over my head, the whole situation was, I didn't love the company. I didn't love the product.
Right.
And the speaker, you know, they had no idea what they were doing, but the speaker put me in a place where I thought, what products do I love? Yeah. And it brought me to Clinique. And in those days, and I think it's still true today, if you wanted to begin a career in sales, you began at the counter. So I kind of had to take about 5 or 6 steps back. My parents were not happy with me at all. but I will tell you, I was young. It was probably the best decision of my life because I gained an understanding of the consumer, the customer, the client, that I would not have had when I got into the ivory towers of, you know, our Fifth Avenue office. They truly are ivory towers. And, you know, oftentimes I had that experience at the counter and understanding the customer that allowed me to know if an initiative that we had on Fifth Avenue was actually going to work in real life. And I kind of became, in the early parts of my career in New York, a Mikey. Remember that Life commercial, will Mikey like it? But oftentimes I was asked that question, will this work at the counter, Heidi? And I think as I was creating with my team initiatives for North America consultants at Clinique, I had a unique ability to tap into them and ask them for feedback. And they knew I was asking because I understood their context. And I think we created some groundbreaking programs that they're still following today based on that communication between the consultant and the executive who happened to be me leading it at that time. There was an intrinsic respect for the consultant because she or he really determined the success of our company. A lot of companies say that, but I don't know they always follow it. And I'm very proud to say for the time I was there in New York, I was able to bring the consultant in as the most important part of it, or most important person in the organization next to the customer.
That's terrific. So let's shift gears, right, for our listeners, right? Here we are, beginning of the year. So many of us try to kind of prove ourselves through hefty resolutions or a complete reinvention of ourselves. But you're not really a fan of all that. So tell us why.
Yeah. You know, I'm always respectful when I hear, you know, people are making resolutions or they want to reinvent themselves, because I understand that maybe what they really mean is they're just trying to own, you know, more of who they are.
Ooh, yeah.
And that they want to be the best they can be. But in coaching and counseling so many different executive students, you know, thousands of people over the years, I'm more a fan of identifying your own strengths, your own talents, and working harder to become more of who you are, and figuring out what makes you unique. Where do you perform with excellence better than anybody else? And then doing more of that. I don't think there's a need to reinvent yourself, Karen, because your blueprint for excellence is already in you. Research shows that. My experiences show me that, that, you know, if you're looking at how you can bring your best, which I know is something Tri-Delta talks about, or being the best in your category, that could be anything. The key thing is to know who you are and then make sure that that is expressed in every single aspect of your life. That's what I call personal leadership.
So, and different from, it's a different approach. It's almost like flipping on its ear, this idea of self-assessing, identifying weaknesses and working on those. So say, right, you know, why the focus on your strengths is more important or maybe even more productive than the focus on your weaknesses.
It's a real paradigm shift, you know, because I follow what's called a strength-based approach to personal development. And that is focus on your strengths and manage around your weaknesses. You shouldn't, you know, disregard your weaknesses, but weakness fixing only prevents failure. Strength building leads to success. And there's research paper after research paper that shows the same things. Identify what you're great at, and you have the potential for near perfect performance. Focus on fixing your failures, or fixing your weaknesses, and that will just prevent failure or give you, at best, a mediocre performance.
So, and that is a passion of yours, right? Is
yes,
and owning, right, and focusing on your own personal development, that it really has to be self-driven. So you want to talk a little bit about why that's so important?
Yeah, because you bring the same you to every experience you're in. So when people talk about leadership, Karen, oftentimes I think you've heard this too, they talk about a specific instance, like a job. I really believe more in thinking about, you've heard me use this term, leading from where you stand. Who do you want to be as a total person? What do you want to represent? What do you want to be remembered for? And how will you express that to your best potential in every single aspect of your life? So it's a fuller approach to leading. And I think that is what brings a person joy. That's what really gives them a sense of well-being and allows them to make their best contribution.
Cautioning people against, right, leadership program du jour. Right. So often as employees and leaders in our organizations, right, it's really easy to get caught up, right, on the latest and the greatest. And, you know, I feel like what you're encouraging us to do is keep it personal and keep it pretty simple.
Yeah, absolutely. Because once you know who you are and what you can do best, you can approach any situation, any organization, whether it be personal, professional, anything, and you'll know what you can bring into it. For example, I know that I love looking at individuals and figuring out what makes them tick and putting them in the right seats of the bus and making sure that we work together to achieve a goal. I love those things. So that can apply to my work at St. Jude. That can apply to my work at Philosophy. It can apply anywhere. So once you've got that blueprint down and you know what you do better than anybody else, then it's easy to extend that to any situational context.
So I'm glad you said St. Jude, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
huge part of your life, right?
Yes.
And another passion for you. And really, in my mind, relates a lot to all of us as TriDeltas, that quality of unselfish leadership, right? And certainly that is something that you've shown through your charitable work. So you want to talk a little bit about your work for St. Jude and then just unselfish leadership, that concept, and how it helps define you as a person and a professional.
I think, you know, the whole concept of giving is so important for me. It was reinforced. It was one of the reasons, Karen, I joined TriDelta. When I was recruited, I heard them talk about academics, which is important to me. I heard them talk about philanthropy as much as academics, and then certainly the social aspects. But that really rang true to me, that work was done to improve the life of another. And so I was attracted to TriDelta, you know, in those days in 1979 when I was recruited. I was further attracted to TriDelta as an alum when I learned about our St. Jude relationship and wanted to do anything I could to support that as a member. There was a point, though, where I just decided, yes, I can support St. Jude as a TriDelta in many different forms, but how can I do this as a human being on my own in Phoenix? And that's when I began to create a vision of what I thought I could do with the talents I had. And I ended up leading for a few years the corporate donation side of the St. Jude Walk in Phoenix. I did that. And really enjoyed the fact that I could work with individuals to go toward a greater cause. Again, that's what I know I love and what I'm good at, to meet our expectations. Always there was a result there. And after doing that a few years, I decided, let me see if I can be one of the top online fundraisers just for fun and bring people together, friends and family, to build St. Jude funds every year with the walk. And that's a passion of mine that I'll never lose. I met a lot of St. Jude families along the way, like you, many people that have had their lives given back and many who have lost their lives. And so to me, this becomes a lifelong commitment.
I couldn't agree more, right? Feelings about St. Jude and the mission, right, of finding cures and saving children. So
yes.
Yours. I want to talk a little bit about how our support of St. Jude, in your mind, aligns with TriDelta's founding as a society that would be kind alike to all.
Yeah, I think, you know, always thinking about other people was always a message in TriDelta about, you know, improving not only your circumstances, but the circumstances of other people. And, you know, Karen, I always go back to our purpose. I mean, that's kind of a blueprint in my head. And it's part of that, to develop a stronger and more womanly character. I love that TriDelta is an organization that supports St. Jude, because I think that's a way our collegiate and alumna members are committed to developing that stronger and more womanly character. I also think it's part of broadening that third piece, the moral and intellectual life, you know, that we are contributing in a significant way as one of St. Jude's major partners to making the circumstances of people, anyone who has cancer, better, because St. Jude shares their research. And I think it's also part of us working together as a team to assist our members and assist those we support in every possible way. So it's a creative approach to our fourth part of our purpose. It's all about giving back. And we have been certainly given a lot as university women. And I think we owe it to our society to give back, you know, the research that comes from St. Jude, which is academic. There's a philanthropic part that is so much a part of TriDelta. And there's a part that celebrates achievement. And when I see the types of numbers and the types of dollars we brought into St. Jude, that makes me feel good.
Well, and right, much to your formula for success, right? There's the results are clear, right?
Yes, because we're all clear on what that has to be. And what I love is year after year, we have bested ourselves. And that creates such a feeling of organizational joy and feelings of doing something that's right. You know, what Mark Twain said, do what's right. It will please some people and astonish the rest. I think that is so good for an organization to not only say, yes, we support St. Jude, but we do it with a vim and a vigor and a strength that is that stands toe to toe with corporate giants. You know, that's
absolutely
wonderful. Yeah,
absolutely. And then, you know, to me, the surround too. So that amazing national partnership, and then surrounding communities across the country where we're supporting local childhood cancer initiatives, right?
Yes.
That helps us attack childhood cancer from every angle, right?
That's such a good point, because it's right. So much more than St. Jude. It is, we're attacking it from every angle. I like the way you said that. It's comprehensive.
Well, and as brave, bold, and kind women, right, that we were founded to be, like, let's get after this, and in as many ways as possible. You know, the result, the ultimate goal is to eradicate childhood cancer. So we know what the result is, right? And we're being awfully creative along the way, using our collective talents, right? As we close out today, Heidi, is there any place that you might direct our listeners to begin sort of that personal assessment of their strengths? Do you have a favorite methodology or tool that you use to sort of do that personal inventory?
No, I mean, I there's three things I think of right away. I put a lot of confidence and I'm really impressed with the results that Gallup has in their StrengthsFinder assessment. That is available to every person to do if you go to the Gallup website. That is a wonderful assessment tool that can help you very quickly understand your top strengths and talents and give you information on that. I believe in it so much. I've been certified in it to help other people, discover their talents and use them toward the ends of goals they want to create. If other ways that are important to focus on your talents too, beside a research-based assessment, is to think about times where you have had that feeling of achievement and joy. Think of the times where you've really felt you're most alive. And make a list over time of what those things were and what you were doing. And I promise you, I've done this with a lot of clients, a lot of students, a lot of executives. When you make that list of those high points where you really said, this is where I'm really in my own zone, you're going to see a theme when you look at what you're doing, what is happening. The other thing you can do is talk to other people. And I really encourage you to talk to different people from different parts of your life and ask them where they see your areas of excellence. Where do they see that you shine? And purposely choose people that don't know each other, that know you maybe as a student, know you as an employee, and see what the common themes are and see if they match those areas where you had your moments of joy. And you'll be able very easily to put it all together and say, okay, this is what I think I represent. This is what I do with excellence. Now, how can I apply that to whatever I have in front of me, whatever I either have to do or whatever vision I have for myself? Those are the three things I usually tell people to do. An assessment, think about experiences that have been successful for you, why they were, what you were doing, and then ask other people what they see in you.
Such good advice. That is such good advice. And naturally, right, it came in a series of three different activities.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it funny? I do tend to do that, Karen.
I just think it comes naturally to us. Heidi, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Your insights, right, and sharing your encouragement with all of our listeners on Let's Talk TriDelta. I want to invite everyone to just stay up to date on all things TriDelta, from the Trident to upcoming lead events at TriDelta.org. And know that we'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your ideas or your questions at podcast@trideltaeo.org. Please like, subscribe, and rate our podcast. We're so excited that you're tuning in and appreciate you talking TriDelta with us. Join us next time and bring you. Join us next time and bring you